God is good all the time, amen? And he's always making a way, if we're listening. If we're what? If we're listening. Glory to God. Are you all blessed today? Highly flavored? Anointed and appointed? Would you grab your Bibles and go to Galatians chapter 3? In Galatians chapter 3. Is everybody there? Oh, yes. See, this is what they used to do in the old days. You know, they used to go into the fields and the parks and have services. It wasn't about a building. People are so traditionalized now that church is a building. No, the church is not the building. The church is a living organism. My wife says, but we'll take the building. We don't want a building. We want a 20 acres with a amphitheater in there, man. So we can amp. Hallelujah. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? O foolish Galatians, who has what? Bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the what? Hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect in the what? In the flesh. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you, works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations will be blessed. So then those who are of the faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Now, this is very powerful because one of the things he's talking about, he says, man, you started off in the Spirit. You started off in the Spirit, then you got moved to the flesh. You started off walking in the Spirit. You started off in the things that were good. You started off in faith. In faith. But then you moved to the flesh, or what we call self, which is the area where you're no longer seeing or hearing spiritually. Because faith is seeing and hearing spiritually. So what was happening is they were missing the promise of God. They had an altered belief system. Hello? It was a flawed belief system. And that took place by an acceptable seed that took root. And it sprouted a false or flawed belief system because of either something that they heard, something that they saw, or something that they received somewhere that began to disqualify their faith. And I want to share with you that there are deceivers of faith. Deceivers of faith. And what they try to do is they try to nullify your faith. And if they can nullify your faith, they nullify you from walking in the Spirit. Is everybody with me? Is there anybody with me? Praise God. Praise God. So faith is the activation of the response to the unseen realm or the spiritual realm of truth. This is true faith. Now let me share this again. Faith is the activation of the response to the unseen realm or the spiritual realm of truth. This is what we call true faith. So what he was saying, he says, man, you started off well. You started off by walking in the Spirit. You started off by seeing the things of God, hearing the things of God and walking according to the obedience of God. And now you've gone back to yourself. Now you've begun to put your faith in yourself instead of God. Is everybody with me? They began to put their faith where? In themselves instead of God. And he says, because you put your faith in yourself instead of God, you will lose or miss the promises of God. Go to Hebrews 11. And there are deceivers of faith out there. And these are areas where God is beginning to recognize and bring forth and expose. So that our faith is not in man, nor self, but in the Lord. So again, faith is the activation of the response to the unseen realm or the spiritual realm of truth. So you are responding to what God is saying. You are responding to what you're seeing spiritually, what God is showing you. You are responding. That response is called faith. So if you don't respond, is it faith? No. So if you're not responding, it's not faith, is it? Because faith is movement. Faith is action. There's always a response in faith. That's why when people, many people think that because they're good, they're going to heaven, right? But they've never responded to faith. They've never responded. In other words, they never responded to the voice of God or the call of God. You know how many people are going to die and never fulfill the will of God? See, this is where religion comes into effect, where people become religious because of their belief system. And their belief system, they're more bound to their own belief system than to the truth. Well, I just believe God this, and I believe God that, and I believe God that. That's not faith. That's not believing in God, because truth, there must be a truth connected to what God says. And God only speaks truth. So if a person's belief system is flawed, it's because they're believing in something that God's not said. And it is not faith. And it brings bondage. And that's where people think, I'm a good person. I try this, I do that, I help people, I do this, you're going to hell. Why? I'm a good person. Because only the righteous of Christ make it home. That's why there's two trees, the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. Which one are you going to eat from? That's where good people are deceived. Why? Because they're involved in their own belief system and their faith is in themselves. Because they try to justify themselves by saying, I'm good. I'm good. And they'll stand before God and say, God, I'm good. And he said, you're an idiot. You're deceived. Nobody's good. There's only one good. There's only one righteous. And so only Christ. That's why people are out there. I'm telling you, the deceivers of faith are exploiting in every area. It's happening. People are putting their faith. Look at what's going on right now. We talked about a little bit about this already last week. But look at how people are putting their faith in the government. First of all, the government's stealing everything from everybody and trying to bring people into bondage so their faith is in them. What do you think welfare is? It's faith in the government and all the other things. It's faith in the government. So what's happening is the enemy makes people's faith or causes people to go to a faith in an area where something becomes their source. And it brings bondage. It brings bondage. Now I want everyone to say right now, Father, you are my source. Everything else is a resource. Ah. Has everybody got it? Yes, people take medication. Okay, so you take medication. The problem is, as much of the medication brings people into addiction. See, but their faith is in the medication. It's not in the Lord. See, if the faith is in the Lord, and the Lord is your source, the medication is a resource, and you know it's only temporary. But when an individual makes these things permanent, it becomes faith to them. It becomes their source. Then they freak out. Oh my God, I didn't take my medication today. I'm going to die. I'm going to have problems. I'm going to this. I'm going to that. Well, then your faith and your source is the medication. And it's supposed to be a resource, not the source. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, would you read it with me? But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please Him. So without faith, you cannot please God. It is impossible, no matter how good you are. You cannot please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder to those who what? Diligently seek Him. So again, it is impossible to please God without faith. Faith in the Creator, not in creation. It's where you must turn your faith to God, not faith in self. That is not faith. Not pleasing God is a terrible state of being. Remember that when you turn your faith away from God to self or into anything else, it will disqualify you from receiving the promises of God. Because only by fulfilling the will of God can you receive the promises. Is everybody with me? Let's go to Romans 10. Now, hope is future faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse 11. Is everybody there? Anybody there? Somebody slap your neighbor and don't wake up. No. Well, this is your day. Wham! In verse 11. Is there anybody there yet? Are you all there now? Let's read it together, please. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who what? Call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now then, how then shall they call on Him in whom they do not believe? And how shall they believe in Him who they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher or someone to share with them? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. The Word of God? So this is the true faith. Do you understand that? Many people believe that they got faith because they believe in their own belief systems. They have faith in their own belief systems, but that's not faith.
Well, I just believe this, and I believe, and I'm...
Oh, shut up. You believe in the wrong stuff. That ain't faith. That's dumb. That's deception. Yes, but I've gone to all of these seminars. Mr. and Mrs. Seminar King and Queen. Man, they go to every emotional seminar and every kind of thing to help self-promoting.
Hello?
That brings faith to what? Self. Is everybody with me? I'm telling you, there. And why is that out there? Because it's trying to bring you what they call soul power. It's called willpower. Yes, it's the power of self, which only lasts so long. Then it collapses all over again. You know, when I was an addict out there, one of the things I always tried to convince myself, of course, I didn't realize that I was hearing from the devil.
You'll be all right. You can do it on yourself. You're all right. Great.
There goes house. There goes wife. There goes children. There goes car. There goes this.
Come on, you can still try. You can do it on yourself. You can do it alone. Have faith in yourself.
killed me about four times. Lost it all. Finally got to the shower, which was a hose outside of a house. Taking sneakers out of garbage cans. Oh, that was faith in myself. Till I finally accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And he said, believe me, guy. Follow me. Follow me, and I'll take you places you've never been before. I thought, whoa, I heard that somewhere. Star Trek. Now I know who wrote it. The author of Star Trek was my father. Oh, I'm on board. Let's go, Papa. Take me to places I've never, where no man has been before. He's the captain now. So faith comes by hearing the word of God or hearing the voice of God. When God speaks to you, there isn't anything great. Listen, God is always speaking to us in certain ways. The thing is most of the time, we ain't listening. Hello? Until we finally get into a pit where we've got to listen. Oh, God, help me! Then we listen. He says, go here, and I'll heal you. Go here, I'll free you. Go here. He always sends you somewhere. He always sends you. God is a sender. When he visited Moses, what did he do? He sent him. When he visited Abraham, what did he do? He sent him. Everybody gets sent. He always sends them somewhere to get help. But see, faith comes by hearing the word of God or the voice of God. But you can be misled by what you hear. And your faith disqualified by God. Because the deceivers of faith have moved you out of position from the spirit to the flesh or to self. Are you with me? You know, especially people... Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of people that have... worked very hard. They've built up, they've become wealthy and so forth, and they've used principles of workaholic. You know, they've used certain things where they've become wealthy and so forth. And let me tell you, because they've become successful, they want to tell you everything. Or actually, they want to sell you what they know. So that you can become wealthy like them. Right? But that's still not faith. They want to sell you technology or knowledge so that you can become wealthy. But the end result is, without faith in the Lord, everything that that individual or individuals or whatever have that have been associated with wealth doesn't mean anything. So when they get before the Lord, they'll say, Lord, look at this man. I worked hard. Man, I'm a good person. I have provided for my family. I've employed. Look at all the people I've employed for you, Lord. Say, what? Your faith was not in me. You practice lawlessness. Depart from me. I don't know you. See, this is, right now there is a great move of the powers of darkness in the area where they've taken position of deceivers of faith and moving faith, people of faith, into a misleading or wrong direction. Where their faith... See, one of the things that the powers of darkness do is they come and hit you with fear first. If they can nab you with fear, first they deceive you, then they hit you with fear so that fear causes you to misdirect in another faith. Is everybody with me? That's why you must overcome those things and conquer those things. That's why the word says we are more than conquerors. But you're not more than a conqueror if you're not walking in faith. In the true faith. The faith in the Lord. That he's faithful to complete what he started. That he's faithful to hear and answer. And he's faithful to reward. He's faithful to heal. He's faithful to deliver. He's faithful to make a way where there seems to be no way. Why? Because your faith is in him. He's your source and everything else is a resource. Genesis 3. That's why the devil tries to prevent people from being in fellowship or going to Bible studies and whatever. Why? Because he's slowly draining them from true faith. Then he steps in and brings the misleading faith, where their faith now becomes the faith in self and the abilities and talents in self. So what they do is they exchange work, because they exchange pleasure, work, and all other things. They exchange that for the time of hearing the Word of God, praising the Word, seeing the Word, and being refreshed by His Word or by His presence. And that is deception. And that is a deceiver of faith. Genesis 3, is everybody there? And verse 1. Now the serpent was what? More cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, the serpent is more cunning. We know that he's the devil, Satan, and so forth. So he begins to speak to the woman, which the woman really had no right being at the tree, and talking with him. And the woman responds in verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, you know that she had communion with God, right? Because she said, God said. She didn't say, Adam said. She said, God said. So because God said, she had faith in God. But one of the things the serpent was trying to do was now alter her faith. He was trying to alter her faith, mislead her faith to herself. Is everybody with me? Why? Because now he's saying, listen, are you really sure about this? Verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Whoa, he just called God a liar. And he said, listen, woman, believe me. Put your faith in me. You won't die. Now look at the next verse in verse 5. For God knows in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So he was trying to tell her, listen, if you listen to me, I'm telling you, you're not going to die, which he lied. And if you listen to me, I'm telling you, the only reason why God has told you not to eat of my tree is because you'll be like him. So he convinced her that God was holding something back. And when he convinced her that God was holding something back, when the woman, verse 6, saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. One wise. Are you listening? Now, everything turned to her. Oh, well, if God really lied to me, which God doesn't lie, if God is holding something back from me, and I really won't die, now she's already put her faith in the serpent. Already, it's done and over with. Because now she's looking at the tree, and it's going, oh, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. And the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And you know what happened? They died. Hello. Why? Because the serpent encouraged faith in another direction. And the deceivers of faith out there right now are trying to encourage believers of faith to put their faith into another direction and miss the promises of God. And that direction was called self. Promoting the flesh, they eventually died. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. Would you read it with me, please? Is everybody there? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Isn't that what the serpent did to Eve? Things of the flesh represent self. Eve had faith in God. Then it was misled. It was redirected in faith in self. And the word says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So what are your mind set on? Is it set in the things of self? Is your faith in your abilities, your talents? Is your faith in your bank account? Is your faith in your intellectual knowledge? Is your faith, what's your faith in? What's your source? Is your faith in your job, your medication? Is your faith, where is it? Is it in your spouse? Is your faith in your pastor? Your faith should be in the Lord. That is the source. Everything else is a resource. And when it's reversed, you are now in the flesh. And verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Wow. And this is how the enemy tricks believers. Those who have faith in the Lord, he'll come up and trick you. He'll try to bring your confidence or your faith in something else. He'll try to exchange it to where it becomes your source instead of your resource. Ephesians 5. The word says we walk by faith, not by sight. Of course, faith is spiritual sight. Ephesians 5 and verse 6. Let's read it. Let no one what? Deceive you with what? Empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the what? Sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So children of light have their faith in what? In the Lord. The Bible says be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Strong in him. Lord, give me the strength to obey you and the power to overcome temptation. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness or deception. But rather what? Expose them. That's where it's our responsibility to make what is unseen to become seen. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake! Slap your neighbor! Awake, you who sleep! Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So don't be deceived by empty words, words of the flesh, words of the world. It's called false encouragement. It will redirect your faith and disqualify you from the promises of God. 1 Corinthians 3. And verse 16. Everybody there? Let's read this together. Verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will what? Destroy it. So what would you think that would be considering defile the temple of God? Of course, fornication, right? Adultery and all the other things, sin. But there are other things. How about other things that defile the temple of God? Things that we hear. Things that we see. They defile the temple of God. Things that we speak. Well, of course, the things that you speak, you'll know what's if it's defiled or not. Amen. So these are areas that will... Remember, the enemy's trying to defile the temple of God by putting faith into a resource instead of the true source. Is everybody okay? Defiling the temple of God. He says if you defile it all... How about somebody who... the enemy's always trying to destroy us, isn't he? So... There are people who have eating disorders, addictions, all kinds of things. That's defiling the temple of God. And if somebody doesn't do something about it soon, the temple will be destroyed. It will die. Everybody in here knows somebody's died, usually from a eating disorder, which has caused a disease, cancer, whatever, diabetes, or addiction, somewhere along the line. Or maybe an accident of some sort. But everybody here knows somebody that's died. But most of the time, most of us hear somebody dying because of a disease. And sometimes it's inherited. But so many times the enemy comes when there's struggles and troubles and tries to mislead or redirect our faith so we don't have faith in the Lord all the way through. 1 Corinthians, did we do this? What verse are we on? 16:17. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are. Verse 18. Let no one deceive what? Himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are what? Are yours. So don't be deceived by empty words, words of the flesh, false encouragements. Don't be deceived by the wisdom of the world or brought under the control of technology of the world. Or brought under control of what? Technology of the world. It is not your source. Jesus is your source. He's the one that paid the price. 2 John verse 7. 2 John verse 7. Would you read it, please? For many what? Deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and a what? Antichrist spirit. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God.
Hello.
If you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Wow. In other words, get your reward or your promise from God after you do the will of God. So be careful what you hear. Be careful of how you're encouraged. Because one of the things the enemy likes to do is encourage false belief. He likes to encourage false faith. He likes to encourage faith in the resource instead of the source. In Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Is everybody there? It says, therefore do not cast away your confidence or your faith in the Lord, which has what? Great reward. Don't cast it away. Don't let the enemy mislead you. For you have need of what? Endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may what? Receive the promise. Does everybody get that? In other words, the promises are not released until the will of God is fulfilled. So the will of God is this. God tells you something to do. Right? That's faith. So you're activating your faith by obeying. Once you've obeyed and completed what God has asked you to do, he releases the promise. Hello? Everybody got it? So the promise comes when? After you do the will. But it originates from the source who directs you to do something because your faith is in the source. And what he usually does is send you to a resource. But your faith is not the resource. Your faith is the source, but you know that God's going to use that resource to get something to you. Hello? So after you've gone to the resource, because he sent you, and you obeyed him, he releases the promise through resources. Hello?
Anybody get it out there?
Hallelujah! 2 Timothy 3. Verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse and deceiving and being deceived. But you must what? Continue in the things which you have learned or heard and have been assured of knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, this is powerful. Because in this, the things in the Word of God, now don't get me misled here. Don't be confused. Grab hold of this. Did the apostles have a Bible? No. So who was their faith in? In the Lord, in the Spirit. They didn't have a Bible to rely on. Does everybody got it? Now, the Bible are written documents of things that were recorded. Things that God said. Men and women suffered persecution, things, you know. And the Word of God is to increase our faith, isn't it? So the Word of God is actually a resource. Does everybody got it? Because he's providing something through the Word of God. The Bible is a resource, but he's still your source. Does everybody get it? See, people become to make the Bible the source instead of the Spirit the source. Man, I love the Word. I will read it to the day I'm taken. But nothing will ever interfere with my relationship with the living Word. His name is Jesus the Christ by His Spirit. My relationship is in spirit and with Him. Does everybody got it? The Bible is a resource. He's my source, but He releases promises through resources. Come on. And this is the difference between relationship and religion. Because people are placing their source in the Word of God instead of the person of God. And that's called religion. And then what happens is the enemy twists the Word of God where it's not the full meaning, and they are misled now, and they become in what we call a state of being where their belief system is flawed. Now the belief system becomes flawed, and a flawed belief system brings bondage. And that's what's called religion, because there's a lot of religions, isn't there? There's all kinds of religions. Even in the body of Christ, people create their own religions. But if everybody was in the Spirit, there would only be one. One. You wouldn't have denominations. We'd all be one. There wouldn't be so much division in the body of Christ. If everybody would get slam dunked in the Holy Ghost, we'd be okay. But you know that there are people out there that still do not believe casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, and so forth, which was a command by the Lord for us to go out and do. Praying in tongues and so forth. So there's still that false belief system which hinders and brings division and strife and creates religiosity and bondage instead of freedom. Instead of freedom. And what happens then is the things that are supposed to be resources become their sources. And the true Holy One, who's supposed to become their source, becomes their resource. And that's danger. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such as false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. I say again, let no one think me a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I may also boast a little. Now listen, what is he saying? He's saying, listen, you better judge fruit. You better find out who you're listening from, what you're listening from. Because there are false apostles, and there are false ministers proclaiming themselves to be ministers of Christ. These are deceivers of faith. They are officers of Satan's kingdom. You know, you start speaking about Satan and the demons and so forth, many people don't want to hear it. Because they walk in fear. And fear is a spirit in itself. But God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. You know, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How many people have accursed items in their house and they don't even know? And they wonder why everything keeps getting stolen, why they keep getting sick, and why this and why that and whatever. And all of these accursed items that are in their home, because they've never learned truth. They've been living on resources and never the source. They've created their own belief system, which has become flawed and brought them into bondage. And they can't get free. They're always learning, 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 but they can never get free. Because it's always being stolen. The things that they're learning are promoting faith in self and not faith in God. And let me share with you again. It is happening right now. Right now, the powers of darkness, the deceivers of faith are all over. See, we are children of light. We are defenders of righteousness. We are ambassadors of the kingdom. We are servants to the anointing. And we are stewards to the mysteries of God, the truth of God. And it's our responsibility to restrain evil and expose it. That's why you're here learning. So that you can go out and kick some butt. So you can walk according to the will of God. And so that you can practice righteousness in your own life and in your own home. So that when somebody's in need, you won't guide them to a resource. You'll guide them to the source. And the source will guide them to a resource. It's time. The church is arising. The body of Christ is arising. There is so much deception in the world, it's phenomenal. We just read it, that it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. Things that are called, that are righteous are now called evil. And things that are evil are now called righteousness according to the world. Yes, you'll be persecuted. You'll be condemned. They'll think you're nuts. Praise God, I am nuts. I'm nuts over Jesus now. I'm grateful for what he's done for me. See, you can't make a decision to ever go back. Because you'll be sucked up and taken out. The enemy is waiting to deceive your faith. He's waiting. He looks. The Bible says, make no place for the devil in any way. Do you know that one of the things that brings people into a wrong direction of faith is discouragement? And once you've come in agreement with discouragement, the enemy shows up and he begins to redirect your faith. He wants to disqualify your faith in God and put your faith in everything else. Discouragement. I would rather die with my faith in the Lord than live in my faith in anything else. Because when you die with your faith in the Lord, you will leave a legacy. If you die in your faith in anything else, your history. Acts 26. 40 more scriptures will be done. Acts 26. Now, don't put your faith in that, okay? I'm just a resource. Acts 26, verse 15. So I said, this is Saul speaking, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness of both of things which you are to have seen and of things which you have not yet revealed to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their what? Eyes, in order to turn them from the darkness to light and from the powers of what? Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Wow. That's why you and I have been raised. That's why you're called. Listen, you've been handpicked to be here today. You may thought, "Well, man, I'm coming here for something. Or I got to be here," or whatever. You've been handpicked today to be here by my Father. Handpicked to be here. Ain't that something? You've been handpicked by God Almighty. Hallelujah. So you're here because you've been handpicked. Now what you going to do with it? Are you going to leave here and just flush it? Are you going to leave here and go back to the old thing that you were doing? Or are you going to leave here and put your faith in Him and start doing the new thing that He does? Go ahead, James 5. We are sanctified by faith. Slap your neighbor and say, "You got it." James chapter 5. Is everybody there? Listen, look at this. Watch this. Ooh, nice. Verse 13. "If any of you among you suffering, let him pray." Hello. What's he saying? Go to your source, man. He didn't say pick up the phone. He said go to the throne. "Is any among you suffering? Pray." Go to the source. "And let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." The faith, the prayer of the faith will save the sick. Jeremiah 17. So what does he say? Go to the source. Jeremiah 17 and verse something. 5. Jeremiah 17 verse 5. Are you learning? Better than burning and getting burned. Let's read it together. "For thus says the Lord, cursed is a man who trusts in man." Hello. Curse. Anybody want to bring a curse on yourself? Come on, nobody here does. Come on, raise your hand. Somebody raise your hand. You want to bring a curse on yourself? Oh, okay, good. Anybody want to go to hell? And don't tell me you've been there and back. It may seem that way, but you weren't. "Cursed is a man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. Whose heart," what? "Departs from the Lord." In other words, his faith has been redirected. "For he shall be like a shrub in the desert." Nice. "And shall not see when good comes." In other words, he'll always miss when God's trying to do something. "But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. But blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord, who makes his Lord and brings hope. He's everything. He's a source. And whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a what? Tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not what? Fear. Will not what? Fear. Wow. When he comes. But its leaves will be green, and he will not be what? Anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from what? Yielding fruit. The heart is a deceitful above all things and despitefully wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. So if the Lord is your source, that means your faith is in him. Then you will be blessed. If he's not, you'll be cursed. And the curse is a legal document for a demon to access your life. 2 Peter chapter 2. And then one more verse. God willing. 2 Peter chapter 2. Are you ready? Let's do this together. But there were also... Verse 1, I'm sorry. But there are also... But there are also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachings among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, and even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them to chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, and making them an example of those who afterward would what? Live ungodly. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blameless, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam and the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb donkey, as a matter of fact, speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of the darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. In other words, they were drawn back in. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he's brought into bondage again. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But as it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wailing in mire. In other words, the enemy, the deceivers of faith, are out there trying to bring people back into the bondage of deception. Does everybody got this? Trying to move you from the faith who is your resource, Christ Jesus, in exchange for a resource. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to close right here. So be careful of what encouragement you're getting. Are you listening? Be encouraged in the faith of the Lord, not in yourself. Keep the Lord as your source, and everything else a resource. Then you will do the will of God, and He will release the promise. We are at a critical time right now. Deception is rampant, and it's even in the body of Christ. Deceivers of faith, enemies of righteousness, have infiltrated the body. Be careful that you are not deceived or caught up in it. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul writes this: I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the what? The faith. In other words, he's kept the Lord as his source. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to also to all who have loved his appearing. Awesome. So again, I want to encourage you. Maintain the Lord as your source, and everything else a resource. Stay in fellowship. Learn. Stay in the Word. Remember, the Word is to increase your faith in the source. The Word is not your source. The Word is a resource. He is your source. Be encouraged today in the faith, and be discouraged in anything else that would try to deceive you. Learn, trust, follow, obey, do the will, and the promise is released. And to God be the glory. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise be to God.